A pleasant Thursday. This is Ozarks at Large. For about 30 years, the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture has produced the Rural Profile of Arkansas. The biennial report aims to provide a greater understanding of the social, demographic, and economic conditions in rural and urban regions in the state. During a conversation about the 2019 report, lead author Wayne Miller told Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda that the loss of businesses in rural areas and continuing migration of youth and talent to urban areas had become a critical concern. Earlier this week, she checked back in with Miller to see if those trends had continued in the 2021 report.
Sadly, they have continued. The U.S. and the Arkansas economies have been growing since 2010. But I think about 70% of the rural counties have lost population during this period of time when Arkansas and the U.S. economies are growing. The same thing with employment. Employment in urban areas is growing, I think, about 13% since 2010, and it's declined in the rural region. Well, in fact, all three of our rural regions of Arkansas during this time of growth. So it's declined from 3% to 7%. And so there are fewer jobs. Of course, people leave because they don't have jobs. I think there's both push and pull factors there. If you're in the rural area, you might not have the amenities that you like, the health care and the entertainment and things that you like. As well, also no jobs. And the pull factors for the urban areas are they have some of these amenities available. They have higher paying jobs. And so you have, I think, both push and pull factors at play.
What is the danger or the problem with this trend continuing?
Well, that's a good question, because all rural areas are not going to survive. I mean, we have a global economy now. And so that means the economic base for a lot of these rural regions have changed. I mean, it's no longer they can depend on natural resource industries to generate the jobs and income that they have in the past. Some of that is being done overseas now. So really, they have to reinvent themselves if they want to survive. And all communities probably won't survive. But I think there needs to be good infrastructure, healthcare, education, if these communities are going to survive.
Obviously, the biggest thing that's been impacting not just rural communities over the last years is the pandemic. But since we are talking about rural communities, how has COVID-19 impacted those communities? Has it created new problems, or is it more just highlighting ones that were already there?
Well, I think it's highlighting problems that were all existed, but probably exacerbated them at the same time. For example, the education issue. If children can't go to school in the classroom, they need access to the internet and to be able to learn. And so I think it's really brought this to the forefront, what rural communities really need to survive. It's not a new issue. But I think it's created a bigger problem for rural communities. And rural communities, have suffered from COVID-19, though, as well, as far as their employment, unemployment, people dropping out of the labor force in rural areas, which is much higher than in urban areas. And so COVID-19 has also affected the local tax base. And rural communities, local governments rely on the sales tax and the property tax to generate a lot of their revenue. When people don't have money to spend, they get less revenue from local sources. And so then it's harder for those communities to develop the infrastructure they need.
I'm glad you brought up the sales tax, because that was something I found interesting in this report. According to your research, 43 of Arkansas's 75 counties increased their county sales tax rate between 2007 and 2020. 39 of those counties are rural, so that means over 60% of rural counties increased their sales tax rate compared to 30% of urban counties. Was that to make up for the loss of that base? And so they increased it because it seems like if you're going to increase for communities that are historically poorer than urban communities, that's going to be harder for them to come up with. It's going to be more of a strain on them.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Yes, but that's the reason they have increased their sales tax rate, is try to generate more revenue from a lower tax base. And the same thing goes for the property tax as well. A lot of those counties have increased their millage to make up for a lost assessment, property tax assessment base on that. But again, at the same time, that makes it harder than for a lot of those residents in the rural areas, because they're paying a higher sales tax rate, you know, than maybe the urban areas.
Right. So that was one of the things that stood out to me. Was there any other statistic that stood out to you in doing this report?
What we need to do is emphasize the infrastructure, and especially the broadband access to and be able to utilize the broadband internet. And that plays a key role in what communities can or cannot do. I mean, my wife has a personal jewelry business, which she does online. But if we didn't live in Conway where we had good internet access, she wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, her market is kind of worldwide. And so that's a big constraint that should have been addressed, you know, decades ago, but it hasn't. I mean, and that's a real key issue. But as far as the other areas, I mean, there's some, you know, important concerns, but I guess they're not really surprising because they've been ongoing trends. Of course, the COVID-19 has affected a lot of the minority communities much more than they have, the large white population, and that affects rural communities as well.
According to your report, the population of people in color in Arkansas increased 10% compared to a 2% growth in the white population from 2010 to 2019. How does that break down amongst rural communities?
I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but in the 2000s, the rural communities received a lot of the minority population to work in factories, the poultry processing plants, or the other ag processing industries, which were in the rural communities. I think recently there hasn't been that growth in the immigration population in rural areas because the employment opportunities haven't been there as well, and they've been more in the urban areas. And so I expect the growth is probably more in the urban areas right now compared to the rural.
So with the decline in the population in rural communities, it makes sense because they're going where the jobs are, they're going where the entertainment is, the opportunity is. In order to keep people in rural communities, you need to offer some of these things that are in urban communities. So it kind of feels like this, like you said, a push or pull. It's this chicken or egg thing. How do you get to a point where you can offer those things in a rural community so that you can have both urban and rural communities in your state, which both have their merits?
Right. And I think some communities have done this. For example, I think Batesville is a good example of what they've done to their downtown area and developing amenities. Harrison, I think, is also doing this. Provide some amenities that, you know, the working age population, especially the younger working age population, likes. And so you have to have, obviously, high-speed broadband access. You have to have the cafes, you know, the entertainment possibilities. And I think some rural communities offering these amenities can be very attractive to some people, you know, if they have a good educational system at the same time. So you can make investments in some of those amenities kind of thing to try to attract or keep people there. And at the same time, try to encourage entrepreneurship, support the young entrepreneurs who want to start a new business up in your community. And so, you know, I think there are opportunities for communities to attract and keep people there if they provide some of these amenities and opportunities for entrepreneurship and growth.
Anything else you would like to add about the report?
We look at some of the issues like health and education as well, and it's not new that the rural areas have high infant mortality rates and obesity rates than urban areas. But I think another area, going back to your question about what can rural communities do, I think education is the key. And I think that starts with the pre-K kind of opportunities for children. Investments in pre-K can have very high returns. Make sure your schools are good. And so you produce good quality graduates. And you may have to provide some, workforce education. And I think that's going to be a key for a lot of these rural communities, is to focus on the education. It's a long-term investment, but I think it has high returns. And those communities that can do that, I think, will survive.
That was Wayne Miller, lead author of the 2021 edition of The Rural Profile of Arkansas. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda earlier this week. The full report is available at uaex.edu/ruralprofile. We'll also share that link on our website, ozarksatlarge.com.